Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good, Christopher. What is going on in my life? Chris, I can exclusively reveal. I don't know why anybody else would be able to reveal it or even be interested, but my car has finally passed. It's MOT. Bum, 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 bum.
It's here. Saga's over.
It's here.
Wow.
Well. Well. Is the saga over? Or is it just beginning? It's got to be registered on the road. So I've sent a postal order off. Whoops. I sent a postal order off to the DVLA because that's how things have to be done. You've got to send either a cheque or a postal order and you've got to sit on your arse for about 6 weeks before they can give you a registration. Maybe I'll get one of those cool registrations that says Cool Dude 1 or something by accident, completely by accident, or I'm a dick.
I've never seen the appeal of getting like a license number plate personalised. It just seems a bit...
awful. There was a Toyota Crown, like a Japanese taxi for sale in England not that long ago, and their personalised license plate that came with the car was Jap 1. It's a bit on the nose. I don't know what it's a bit on the nose, to be honest, and I could see what they were trying to do, but that's almost a slur, so yeah, maybe chill out. Yeah,
that is no, that's a terrible
no.
idea.
Exactly.
All the fucking license plates you get
around.
My God, you could write a book there at this point over the highs and lows and ups and downs of importing
mainly lows, Chris, to be honest.
Car.
And when I did turn up at the MOT centre, they did go, "This isn't a good car."
Oh no!
It is all broken inside. But like, there's a couple of things around the air intake that has clearly been molested, let's say, and yeah, turns out like things like gas struts and stuff for the hood, they're relatively cheap as it goes, but yeah, once you start getting into anything towards the engine, just seems to get more and more expensive, even second hand from Japan, more and more expensive. But I am getting quite au fait with the Toyota Century Parts catalogue, and if nothing else, that's something that we've all learned along the way.
Well, next time I speak to Penguin about any book that I do, I will be like, "I have a friend. He went through
a
struggle worthy of a book that rivals the epic adventure of Lord of the Rings." Going
it's like
to
folklore,
Mordor.
Isn't it? It's like sort of Japanese folklore. The man who wanted a Toyota Century so much, he gave up his life.
Bloody hell, you put me off. I've spent all week in a room working on a video, losing my mind. I don't know. I've been doing a video. It's coming out maybe today. I've been saying every day for like a week. It's called "How Expensive Is It to Travel Japan?" Turns out it's actually quite cheap to travel Japan at the moment. Like, I know, you know, we talk about the yen a lot being worthless, but my God, like, I worked out you can travel in Japan for 2 weeks on less than $1,000, probably for the first time ever. And... yeah. You know, you're staying in capsule hotels and things like that, but like, It's bonkers how cheap it is right now. I did a bit of research, and I did the old Big Mac Index. You know, the good old cheeky economist Big Mac Index, right? And Japan is like, it's insanely low. It's, I think it, right now it's nestled between Romania and Vietnam in terms of the price of a Big Mac, right? In the UK and the US, it came to like $5.90 or something. In Japan, the price of a Big Mac right now is about $3.06. And it's like half the price to have a Big Mac here.
Forget your fancy ramen. Forget your Michelin-star restaurants. Get yourself a McDonald's, for crying out loud.
It's bonkers. It really is. So I've got a few friends coming over in April who are taking advantage of the yen. And if you are listening to this and you've yet to book a trip to Japan, do it now. Go and do it. I don't think the yen is going to get better necessarily. I don't oversee it.
It simply can't.
I don't think it can when the population is plummeting so much. Like, the Nikkei and the Japanese stock market's doing really well at the moment, but that's not a great indicator of a country's economy. I'd go and book a holiday. Go and do it now. Crack out the credit card. Come on down. Yeah. Even you, Pete.
Stick out a credit card, pay it off later.
Exactly. We've got a story this week from Matt and Ellie. And it begins, "Hello Crisp Chris and Pistol Pete. Me and my wife recently went on our honeymoon to Japan, something we've wanted to do since we were both teenagers. We're both now in our early 30s. On our adventures around..." on our adventures around Kyoto, we were trying to find our way to the Arashiyama Bamboo Forest from the Golden Pavilion and thought we should take the 108 bus nearby. Very specific, the 108 bus. And we made our way to the station and saw a bus already there, with the last person in the queue stepping aboard. Not sure where the next one would be, we ran over and managed to jump on. Oh dear. I eagerly looked around and confidently reassured my wife that we should be back at Imachi JR train station within 4 stops. Around 10 stops later, it became clear we'd got on the completely wrong bus. Naturally, we've all done this. And we were now heading anti-clockwise, the wrong way around the circular route. I felt a sense of shame, having been far too confident in my navigation skills. But thankfully, we had Google and quickly pinpointed our new path. However, what would normally have been a stressful situation anywhere else in the world gradually became one of the most relaxing and rewarding mistakes of our lives. I'm not sure if all bus drivers are the same in Kyoto, or if we had somehow stumbled upon some unique hybrid public transport / ASMR experience. But our bus driver had the silkiest voice we'd ever heard. After 10 minutes, my wife and I were melting in our seats at this smooth voice, the Morgan Freeman of Japan, by all accounts, washed over the tannoy to announce each stop. Perhaps we underestimated how tiring exploring a new city can be. Perhaps it was the motion of the bus or the driver's voice, but we were tempted to go around for another lap. We weaved our way around Kyoto and eventually returned to the central station 30 minutes after we'd made the sprint to get on the bus. On reflection, we were quite pleased to have made the error and convinced that Japan really does have the best public transport on the planet. Thanks for reading our story, Matt and Ellie. A far cry from Pete Donaldson's train announcements. Do you remember your shouting of the train announcements on the JR Yamanote line?
Shibuya! Shibuya! Oh. Shibuya! It's just like being there, guys. You don't even need to spend that money we talked about. You don't even need to buy a McDonald's. Shibuya! That's how they speak on the
Yamanote
line.
Shinagawa.
Shinagawa! No, I don't know how they say Shinagawa, to be honest. I went with the same way that I did Shibuya. It didn't quite work. Sounded quite offensive, didn't mean to, but genuinely, on the Yamanote line, they do say Shibuya needlessly.
That they do. I mean, I don't think I've ever been on a bus in Japan and thought, oh yes, the voice.
Oh,
this is
nice.
Kiyomizudera Temple. Like, it's like...
There was a man who probably presumably still works at one of the convenience options at Haneda Airport outgoing departures, and he has got this beautiful kind of Riotaro kind of American kind of voice who sort of talks like this. And every time he buys something, he goes, "This is a great choice, sir." It's so beautiful the way this guy speaks. And also there was a man who we did karaoke with in Osaka in a bar about 7 years ago, who's probably still with us and still kicking a ball and still doing karaoke, you would imagine, who did all of the male parts of the song What was that charity song that we did back in the day?
Feed the World.
Ugh, Feed the World.
Horrible song.
He would do all of the male voices very, very deep indeed. We are the world. We are the children. Like
Different
that.
Song.
And it was astonishing. It really was beautiful.
Wow. I am envious of people that have a good kind of voice for like voice saving. Like Connor, right?
Oh,
I hate my voice.
That guy's got everything going for him. You know, you're nearly there, Chris. You know, being a younger man and all. But Connor,
hello.
I just wow. And as a voiceover artist of little repute myself, who you know made a career out
a friendly
of
voice,
good, 15 years. Oh yeah, I'm northern, approachable. As the ITV2 interviewer for that job said, Peter, we just need someone who sounds stupid.
Because you've got the northern friendly voice, right, in the UK?
Northern friendly voice, yeah.
Where would
in
Connor
America
fit?
What's
his voice?
He would be the
abrasive,
authoritative
dickhead.
Kind of. I could see him advertising a nice car.
Ah, yeah. He did work for Samsung, car. I think.
Right.
For Samsung.
Yeah, I could see that.
Galaxy.
Yeah.
It's insane. The Galaxy's insane. He's got a good voice. So I give him that. Mm. But it's interesting the different kind of, you know, the different voices for being a voiceover. Mm. I am not. I hate doing voiceover. I spent this morning recording the same line over and over again because I wasn't happy with the way I sounded. And it's a curse. A curse, I tell you. Any advice to improve?
What was the line? Tell me what the line was and I'll do it for you.
It was like, staying at a hostel is a lot cheaper than a capsule hotel generally, but you can't sleep as well. Something like that. It was something like that. I don't know why my impression
staying
of myself...
Staying in a capsule hotel is cheaper, but it's cheaper than a hotel. Like that.
Matt Berry has entered
something.
The chat.
Yeah. Give it a bit of sugar. Give it a bit of something.
I love the way my impression of myself is awful. It's just me, but even more
right,
nasally
yeah.
and even more twatty. Unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, we've got a story this week. We've got two stories. One's a
we
fun
do.
One, one's a not fun one. Which one do you want to start with, Mr. Donaldson?
I want to drop the non-fun one entirely, to be honest. Boring. Well, I'll bash you the boring one, and then we can have the good one for dessert, all right? Japan is the only country in the world that requires spouses to use the same name, but after decades of inaction, appetite for changing is building. Couples
appetite.
In Japan are free to choose which surname to take when they marry, but in 95% of cases, it is the woman who changes her name, often with reluctance. Now attention is turning to the archaic law that forbids married couples from using separate surnames. Inconvenience aside, campaigners say the insistence on using the same surname is a sign of Japan's lack of progress on gender equality. I would say, Chris, that people who do have different names and have children with one of the other names is quite difficult. It's annoying. And you've got to like spend a lot of time explaining stuff. And even then... you know, if you're a dad and you don't have the same name as your child, for a million different reasons, and you are trying to board a plane, people are a bit...
Right.
What's going on there then? It's just a bit... Ah, fuck. So it's sometimes a little tidier, but obviously that's a wider issue in the patriarchy rather than this specific one. So, yeah, they're going to be changing things up, apparently. There's a lobby group, a Japan Business Federation, who's collected testimony from professional women who've fallen foul of the single name requirement. And, times are changing, hopefully. And they would be able to cherish a name that represents their family's history and is a part of their own identity. Is it fair to say, as I always say at this juncture, Chris, that changing your name... and how important your name is in Japanese bureaucracy and administration. I imagine going into a bank and having to change all of this is quite difficult. So it would be nice to keep your old name.
Yeah, I mean, with the paperwork factored in here, right? It would be a nightmare, I think, changing your name. I don't know. I've never done it, really. I wouldn't know. And I've never known anyone to speak out about this problem to me that I know. But, it, you know, it just seems a bit outdated that you have to take... You both have to have the same name, just a bit. One of those things, isn't it? Like, I also hear you can't have dual passports. You have to decide if you want to keep your Japanese passport and toss away your other nationality, which is a bit archaic, I think. But it's just one of those things, isn't it? Japan's behind on it, but eventually they'll change their minds. I'm annoyed because, as we reported on, they were going to get rid of the Hanco stamp, right? You know, the little plastic stamp with your name on. Yeah. And they were going to get rid of that. And it was like, okay, we got rid of the Hanco stamp, job done. And then nobody did it. And then they just sort of gave up. It was kind of odd. I think there must have just been a lot of pushback from banks and whatnot. But, like, I went into my bank to try and do something. They were like, have you got your stamp? I was like, no, but we don't need our stamps now, do we? And they were like, deck it, like, you can't do it. Fuck off. And I got really angry. I got so angry. I was travelling the next day somewhere overseas, and I had to do this thing, and they wouldn't let it happen. I've never been angry in a Japanese shop or bank or anything, but I was like visibly like, why is this happening? This is awful. I hate that. I thought we got rid of Hanco stamps. Why? Why do we need them?
It's a miracle the city is flourishing in Tokyo. It's a miracle that the businesses or the markets are flourishing when the underlying technology just seems so incredibly antiquated. I thought Chris Broad was a stage name.
Chris Broad?
Yeah.
Because you're abroad
in Japan. I thought you'd change your name to Chris Broad because you wanted to be abroad in Japan. Your real name's Johnny Shits.
A lot of people call me Dave in Japan. That's a shit in Japan. A lot of people call me Dave in Japan ever since I made a joke about it. An American guy came up to me and went, oh my God, you're Dave in Japan. And I was like, "Who the? What are you on about?" And I got really angry. And I told people that story and now they call me Dave in Japan. And it's Dave in Japan. But it's good when you can actually like find a way to monetize your name. It took me a long time. I hate my name, Broad. It's awful. And then I got here, and I think, and I don't know if it was me that came up with the name of my New Zealand friend. He maintains it was him. He was like, "Oh, yeah, mate, you should use your fucking name or like your channel." And I was like, "Oh, Broad, yeah, it could work." He maintains it was him, but I'm not giving him any royalties. But yeah, I think when you can cash in on your name, you've won. And I and where's your cashing in on your name, Mr. Donaldson?
It's quite a difficult one. My partner's called Champion. I was like, well. That's a much better
name. That's a good name.
Like Pete Champion. Solid. I think there's a Pete Champion in Coldplay.
Are you going to change to Pete Champion?
I'd be bang up for that, to be honest. I mean, it might upset my parents, but... That's a much better name, isn't it?
Couldn't you be Pete
Instantly
Donaldson Champion? Donnie Champion?
I think that's a little unwieldy, but I think, I'd be well up for changing on it to Champion's cracking name.
That's well good.
Anyway... Chris, do you want the second news story? A branch manager at Lawson convenience store mistakenly ordered 999 onigiri.
I love
that's
it.
That's the stuff. That's the stuff, isn't it? Due to expire the following day, realizing they'd made a big mistake, they took to Twitter to enlist people's help to clear the shelves. So the Twitter post shows a picture of the fully stocked shelving unit, which is completely full of beautifully aligned onigiri. Accompanying the picture, the post says, Kaga City Yamashiro Onsen, Lawson Yunamachi Yamashiro Onsen Kita Branch. As of 9 a.m. on March the 4th, I made a mistake in ordering 999 pieces of Hidaka Konbu. The deadline for receiving 999 pieces was only one day. Please help me. And there were 600,000 views on the post, and all of the onigiri were sold, thanks to the pleas from the manager. Could he not have given them away? Could the manager not have given the onigiri away to the needy or anyone who wanted them? Did he have to sort of make people buy them?
Well, I mean, onigiri costs something like 180 yen. So 180 yen times 1,000 is a lot of money. And I suspect he would have got his head chopped off by the managers. Like, why did you just blow us all the money? Why did you blow all the money? Why is it all gone? I looked up Kaga City. It's in Ishikawa. And that's actually near where the earthquake happened. So maybe they could have donated it to the earthquake victims nearby. That would have been kind of cool. But I'm just glad that he got rid of them and they didn't go to waste. There's like a motainai sort of culture in Japan, right? This idea of like, don't ever waste the food. Waste packaging, waste all the plastic, waste all the cardboard, don't worry about that. But don't waste the food. And so I could see this being like a real issue, you know, the idea of having all this onigiri. But power of Twitter, or X, as it's now known, of course.
God, don't get your onigiri.
But like, it's the power of the internet to get rid of that much onigiri. It was a win. Because it only lasts a day, right? After one day, numerous of the times I bought onigiri and gone, ah, I'll have it tomorrow. And then you pull it out tomorrow and it's kind of like hard and congealed and rotten.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, onigiri is a classic kind of like, that's the thing you get with the fun stuff in a 7-Eleven. And especially on like a when you're a bit drunk and you just buy all of the food and then you get back and then the next day all you've got left is one of those and you're like, ugh. And maybe some kind of sweet yogurt drink that you didn't want.
Naturally. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's good stuff. Like a happy ending there. Happy. One ridiculous news stories. You can't change your name. And a man bought too much onigiri. Wonderful stuff. Lovely week of news. We'll be back just a moment, guys. Your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in.
We got a message for fax machine, message number one, from someone calling themselves the Fat Vin Diesel, which I would like to see. Some might suggest that Vin Diesel has let himself go a little bit, but I'm not going to comment. Hi there, Chronic Chris and Pandemic Pete. Somehow I've tricked a lovely woman into marriage and we'll be enjoying our honeymoon in Japan during March. It's a 3-week standard stint of Tokyo, Osaka and Kyoto with an offshoot to Kanazawa. I was hoping for some tips to make this trip truly memorable, but not in that typical sappy romantic way. I'm on the lookout for something that might initially shock or surprise her, but will become funny years down the line and a memory for life. Is there a novelty bar you can recommend? Perhaps a twerking sumo wrestler waiter or a junkyard-themed hotel? Anything seems possible in Japan. Suggestions welcome, and I'll gladly report back. Thanks and all the best. Fat Vin Diesel.
Fat Vin Diesel.
Yeah. I would say Fat Vin Diesel that or FVD as I call you now, that you may think at this point in time that something shocking or surprising is the way to go. I as presumably an older man will suggest that that sort of stuff comes and bites you on the bum a little bit, unless you go to the biting on the bum bar, which is in Shibuya. Man comes out and bites on the bum.
Probably is a play. There was that bar in Osaka that's a bit odd where it was staffed by like chubby girls. That was did the rounds on PR.
Yes.
And it was called like Chubby Bar or something ridiculous in Osaka. And yet the girls weren't really chubby. They were just sort of chubby by Japan standards, which is like an average Western person.
They'd eaten 998 onigiri.
Yeah. But like I always thought that could be quite interesting. Wasn't really up my street. I think it would have been really awkward me just sitting there in the corner being like, hello, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm out of my depth. But
what if a Japanese man sat down next to you and thought you were a chubby girl? Hello.
Stick on a wig. Oh, God. I mean, what is there that would shock people in Osaka and Kyoto? What is there?
I would steer clear of like the maid cafes, the sort of themed maid cafes, because I've never been in one, but I would say that they do represent, they do kind of to Western tastes represent an extension of the sex industry, I think, right, sometimes. Right. They're a bit like, this is gross. So I'd go for some, like, just a silly bar.
A silly bar.
You know, there's just Google animal bar. And then you'll get a bar with a weird animal in it. There's just always like fucking eagles.
And that's better than a maid cafe, having a monkey penguins. Serve you food.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe not a monkey, but
the
like
morals
a, like
of
a, Pete I've been to a bar with like with a tank with penguins in. You know, like there's enough stuff kicking a ball.
I mean, I went to that bar where the monkeys serve you drinks with Natsuki years ago, back in like 2014.
That was a popular video, wasn't it?
It did okay. I took it down the end because I felt. It wasn't. I mean, the guy clearly liked the monkeys, but I don't know what the ethics are around having a monkey, a macaque, serve you a beer. And in my case, I ordered some chicken. You sort of go in, sit down, order your food and drinks, and enjoy said food and drinks. And then at a certain point, after about an hour, some horrible music comes on, and then the monkeys all burst out of a cupboard. And they just came straight from my table and just took all my chicken. And I was like, this isn't good. This is shit. I just, that's my dinner. Isn't funny. He's just taking my dinner. They'd let the restaurant get in their food back. Off the like. But in the end, I took it down because I wasn't sure it was ethically right to share such a place. I wonder if it's still there. I've not heard about it since. So maybe it got closed down. Maybe it got closed. Natsuki did get bitten there by the monkey. So that was the price you paid for going to the monkey bar.
Yeah, exactly. All bets are off and all things are... all acts are forgiven.
Pretty sure that's how COVID started as well. Natsuki getting munched. His fingers munched off. We got a story here. Question, rather, from Charlotte from Devon, who says, hello, Pete and Chris. Have you ever been to Kokoro in the UK?
Kokoro
means heart, isn't it? They sell takeaway Japanese food. Would you guys ever consider making a video in the UK, trying different Japanese restaurants and telling us which is the most authentic? Thank you for the amazing content. Charlotte from Devon. I mean, I don't know if I've been to Kokoro. There's a few in the UK, isn't there? Sushi. What's the sushi one? The conveyor belts. Yo Sushi. Awful.
Right.
Don't go there. Wagamama's. Awful. Don't go there. Kokoro. Haven't been. There's Itsu. I think Itsu's okay. What's the other one, Pete? Sounds like wasabi. It is wasabi, isn't
it's
it?
It's wasabi. Yeah, it's just wasabi.
Yeah, pretty all right. They're not bad. And that's it. And Shoryu Ramen is the best ramen, maybe second only to Ippudo, which is in London. So I've done my rounds. You've eaten a fair bit of Japanese food, though, in London, though, right?
Yeah, I think I've done Kokoro. I mean, it's a chain, and they're all over the place, mainly in Richmond, like around that sort of area. They're all right. I mean, it's a little bit like Itsu or Wasabi, where you just they've got like the very tidy boxes of sushi that hang around a little bit too long for my tastes, and also some sweet and sour chicken. Or some katsu, and then you can either have that on rice or ramen, or you know, it's like one of those things you see at a train station. But you know, it's pretty good for what it is.
The thing is, I found they always screw up the shari, the rice used in sushi, right? The vinegar rice. I can't think of anywhere I've been in the UK where I've eaten that and gone, that's pretty good. That's Japan quality. They always screw it up, and I don't know how. It does take a lot of effort to get rice. Like, we take it for granted, like, Japanese rice is extremely good, the way they prepare it and whatnot, and I've never had it to that quality over even in the UK at high-end restaurants. So, yeah, it's hard. I generally try and avoid Japanese food in the UK because I've never really had it, like, done justice. Never had it good. I've never had it good. What's wrong with my grammar today, Pete? What's happening?
This is what Johnny Shits is all about.
Pete Champion.
That's how Johnny Shits talks, baby.
I think Donnie Champion would be a
Donnie
solid
Champion,
rebrand.
Yeah.
Dolly
absolute
champion.
Solid as hell. Beautiful.
We got one last question from Adam, who says, LA Christian, reflective glasses Pete. Don't get him started on his glasses again, for God's sake. I just got back.
Episode 5.
You talk about those glasses again. I just got back from my first trip to Japan, and I'm seriously considering living there permanently. Very good. I currently work remotely, and moving to another country is possible for me within my role. Would it be possible to move to Japan as a remote worker? All the best, Adam. No, it wouldn't, because you'd still need a visa in Japan through a company, right?
So you can come here on a holiday. Digital nomad. Aren't they suggesting digital nomad visas?
They're suggesting it
recently. Yeah.
But then
I imagine
Japan
because it's something relatively new. Yeah, very much like the Hanko stamp removal. They're suggesting things, but the actual prefectures actually adopting that as an incentive or an impetus is a very different thing. So it probably won't happen.
I don't hold out much. If it does happen, the nomad visa, I think it'll be like for 5 people. And it'll be, you have to earn like $2 million a month or something.
And you're
stupid.
Being watched all the time.
Yeah. So no, honestly, I'd just turn up. What I would do, if I was in your shoes, Adam, I would just come here for like 3 months, have a bit of fun, do a bit of work, go off to another country, travel a bit more, maybe then come back to Japan. And then if you like Japan so much, you want to stay here, network while you're working here as a nomad, try and meet people and find another way in, find a company you can work for, because IT stuff, well, they didn't really say you're in IT. IT stuff is in high demand at the moment. So, you'll find a way, I'm sure. But just come on over for a holiday first and do some work in your hotel room and get
drunk. Is Fujitsu hiring?
Fujitsu? They still exist, don't they anymore?
They were the ones that obviously messed up the systems for the post office that meant that a lot of people got imprisoned.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. I sort of missed that story. Over in the UK.
The systems had erroneous data kicking around in different post offices. A lot of managers went to prison for stealing cash and money and the money coming into the stores. But it was actually just a computer bug. And a lot of people went to prison and the government just ignored it for ages, the injustice of it all. And then there was an ITV drama that basically brought it to life. And then suddenly the Tories said, oh, we should do something about this because there's an election on the way. So,
had the Japanese, the company Fujitsu, did it actually do anything wrong then, or was it just an honest mistake?
I'm not going to say one way or t'other, even though I kind of did earlier on. I think that that's all up for grabs, but certainly they have been pulled into the circle of who may have been to blame. Not deliberately, but just their computer systems just had bugs in them, effectively.
I mean, there's plenty of Japan corporate scandals you can sink your teeth into. I remember there was the Olympus scandal, and Michael Woodford, I think, a British guy ended up running Olympus on paper, because it turned out they'd more just hired him to look good while they ran the company secretly, the directors and whatnot. Really good book on the Olympus scandal. I remember reading that when I first arrived in Japan, and it sort of creeped me out a little bit. And then, of course, we had Nissan and everything that went on there. It made me realise that sometimes when it comes to the law in Japan, there's lots of worrying things. But, Olympus scandal, read that. Really good book. Check it out. Keep your stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Right away, in YouTube, guys, right away, and we'll read them out there as well. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, go and watch How Expensive Is It to Travel Japan? Out now on Abroad in Japan. If it's not out, I'm going to be crying in a room because I've been trying to get this video out. It's going to be good. Check it out. But for now, have a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.